Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
A warm word of welcome to the house of the Lord this morning. It's so good to see each and every one gathered out, and it is our prayer that the Lord will bless us, even with his presence, and will even speak to each and indeed to every heart. Let me just run through the announcements at this time. Do remember the evening service at 7 p.m., and remember, of course, the time of prayer from 6:30 until 10 to 7. We'll be delighted to see each and every one gathered out again this evening, and even come and pray with us and come and pray for us in that time of prayer beforehand. We'll be continuing our series in the book of Acts, and we come to the chapter 11 this evening, and the subject is dealing with prejudice in the church, So do endeavour to be out once again this evening in God's house. Monday evening is our online children's meeting at 7:15, and we do encourage prayer even for those meetings as they continue online, and do as well share them and let others know that they are on. Our Wednesday night Bible study and prayer meeting is at 8 p.m., and I'll be here in the will of the Lord to conduct that service, and we do encourage you therefore to make that effort Wednesday night as well to come and to study God's Word, and to come even with us and pray even for the work of the Lord here. The service is next Sunday at normal times. First of all, with the Sunday school in the morning at 10:30, and then 11:30 and 7 p.m. with the time of prayer beforehand in the evening. I'll be here to minister at both services next Lord's Day. The offering on last Wednesday night for Let the Bible Speak came to a total of £150, and we do thank each one in the Saviour's name and on Let the Bible Speak's behalf for your giving towards that work. Just a couple of other announcements. Firstly, it was mentioned at Presbytery on Friday night, just to convey our thanks on behalf of Mrs. Cairns for all of the prayers and the thoughts at this time. It was mentioned to us that she has been inundated with an awful lot of cards. And of course, there's been so many thoughts and messages sent that it would be impossible to reply to them all. But she did want to convey throughout our presbytery to all of our congregations her thanks indeed for all of the prayers. And we do encourage you to continue to pray for her and the family at this time. Can we also encourage you to remember the Whitfield students in your prayers as they commence their examinations this week coming. They have their memory work in theology on Tuesday, and then the Hebrew and the Greek exams will be this Friday, and then they'll have a week of study leave, and then the rest of the exams will be for the next number of weeks. So do remember the students over this next period of time as they sit those examinations, and pray that the Lord will bring them through and even bless them and help them. At Presbytery also, there was a statement was brought to the Presbytery on behalf of the officers, and then it was agreed and ratified, and it is to be read out at all of our congregations this morning. So it is a press statement. It is on our Facebook page. It has been released to the press as well, and it is being circulated in our churches. The General Presbytery of the Free Presbyterian Church of Ulster, its monthly meeting held on the 13th of November 2020, agreed on and passed the following statement. We, the ministers and ruling elders of the Free Presbyterian Church of Ulster, in recognising that by means of COVID-19, the Lord's hand of chastening for our sins has been placed upon our own nation and other nations also, and in the face of the spiralling second wave of the virus, discerning that man does not have the answer to it, and lamenting that our government has not humbled itself to call on Almighty God for his merciful intervention, and believing that all who profess to be God's people should now turn to him in contrition over our sins and the sins of our nation, and rejoicing that there is pardon for sin through the finished work of Christ, the one mediator between God and man, hereby issue this call to seek him in repentance from sin, that he might forgive us for our transgressions of his holy law, and remove this virus from our midst to the healing of our land. 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray, and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, Then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. And that ends the statement from our presbytery. And as we have been doing over these last while, we certainly do encourage continue to pray. We had that special time of prayer, and we do encourage as well to remember and to constantly come before the Lord, seeking his hand of intervention upon our nation in these days. Just one final announcement. As many of you are aware, with the way things are, visitation is greatly restricted. It's more or less stopped, really. There's very few visits that I'm able to do at this time, but can I just remind you that if I can help in any way, if there's any needs at all, please do get in contact with me, and we'll be delighted to help in whatever way we can. Certainly, things are greatly changed from what is a normal practice in the pastoral ministry in the church, but we do still want to be there if we can at all for each one. And so if there are any needs at all, please don't hesitate to get in contact with me, and we'll help in whatever way that we can. Now we're going to commence our worship this morning by turning in our hymn books to the hymn 63. The hymn 63 on the page 201. There is a name I love to hear, and I love to sing its worth. It sounds like music in mine ear, the sweetest name on earth. As we mentioned last Wednesday night, the presbytery has asked that all of our churches at this time that we sing seated, and so we're going to be doing that this morning. We're going to sing seated, and then we're going to stand for our opening prayer afterwards. So the hymn 63, remain seated as we sing, please. Let's stand and we'll look to the Lord in prayer. And even though we are standing, may our hearts be bowed before the Lord, even at this time. Our God and our Father in heaven, we come into thy presence this morning, rejoicing in that name that is above all other names. We thank thee for the name of our Savior. We thank thee for that name that was even given by the angel, even to Joseph, thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. We thank thee this day that salvation is completely and unequivocally of the Lord. We thank thee for the protection that is found in the name of Jesus, and the power that is found in the name of Jesus, that at the name of Jesus every knee is going to bow, and every tongue is going to confess that he alone is Lord. We thank thee for the eternal Son of God, the one who could became man and so was and continueth to be God and man in two distinct natures and yet one person forever. We thank and praise thee that he is the mediator between God and man, and he is the only redeemer of God's elect. We thank thee this day that our standing is in him. We come into thy most holy presence. We plead his name before thee. We plead his merits. We plead, O God, this day, his sacrifice and his blood. That sacrifice and blood that was shed for our sins, that atones for our iniquities. O God, we thank thee that he is there with thee, and he is interceding in our behalf and presenting us to his Father in heaven. O God, we thank thee for another day that thou hast given to us to come into thy house. We thank thee that this is the Lord's day. This is a day that the Lord hath made. And we will rejoice and be glad in it. O God, give us hearts full of praise and joy this day as we are in thy house. Lord, we realize there is much to inflict upon the mind in these days. There is much even to burden us down. But O God, may this day as we have come to thy house, may we have cast all of our care upon the Lord. And may we be here before thee this day with praise and with joy in our hearts, knowing that our Savior lives, knowing that our God this day is on the throne. He is in control of all things, and we can commit ourselves into thy hands. O Lord, remember us in this house. Presence thyself with us, we pray. We are so thankful already, O God, for what has happened in this house today, for the children being able to gather, and for thy word being open to them. Lord, we pray for those children. We pray for those that are still outside of Christ, that thou wilt have mercy upon their souls. That thou wilt even give the teachers the joy of pointing those little ones even to thee for salvation. We pray as well for, O God, those that are saved within our children and within our Sunday school. Lord, may they, as they study thy word, may they learn more of thee and may they grow ever closer to thee. Lord, remember in this service we're thankful, O God, for each one that is here. We pray for thy blessing to be upon each one this morning, that as we worship thee, as we read thy word, as we study it, as we hear thy word preached, that it will be that manna for our souls once again. We pray, O God, that thou wilt bless each and every part of this service. We pray for thy protection to be upon us as we're here. We realize, O God, the dangers that there are in the land at this time and the pandemic and all that is to go with it. We pray that thou wilt watch over our going outs and our coming ins from this house. That thou wilt keep this house open for the preaching of thy word. That thou wilt watch over thy children. That thou wilt keep thy hand upon us. We're thankful, O God, for thy hand of mercy thus far. We're thankful, O God, for the preservation of life even in this community and in this congregation. Lord, we just ask that thou wilt continue to watch over us, and if it be thy will, that thou wilt bring us all safely through it. Lord, remember our land as a whole. We think of the need, the spiritual need. And, O God, we pray to thee once again. We cast it all before thee. For, O God, there's nothing we can do in and of ourselves to fix our land. Lord, we pray that thou wilt turn it. We pray that thou, O God, wilt have mercy upon it. That thou wilt cause thy face to shine once again upon this land. As we even hear the rain falling outside, O God, give us a spiritual rain. Give us, O God, the waters to swim in. We're thankful that we have heard and we have experienced souls being saved even this year. But, oh God, while we rejoice in the mercy drops, the ones and the twos here and there across our land, in connection with our various churches, oh Lord, we long for the rivers. We long for the showers of blessing. Lord, we pray that it will be so even before the end of this year. Lord, in these final weeks of 2020, that men and women will turn from their sin and put their faith and trust in Thee. Lord, we're mindful as well of those that can't be with us. We pray that Thou wilt be near to them. Thou knowest the physical needs upon Thy children in these days that, Lord, hinder them from being part of our fellowship even here this morning. Oh Lord, and strengthen them, and Lord, touch them at the very point of their need. We're mindful as well of those of our elderly, Lord, those in the nursing homes and in their own homes. Oh God, their days of joining with us are past. Lord, we thank Thee that Thou art continuing to be with them, for Thou hast promised never to leave and never to forsake. Lord, undertake for them. Bless them and be with us even now. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. We're going to open our Bibles in the Psalm section as we continue to read through them together week by week. We come to Psalm 82. The Psalm 82, simply entitled A Psalm of Asaph. In the Psalm 82, a relatively short psalm, consider some of the psalms that we've had over the last number of weeks. Only 8 verses in this psalm, and we'll read them together this morning. The verse 1, God standeth in the congregation of the mighty. He judgeth among the gods. How long will ye judge unjustly and accept the persons of the wicked? Selah. Defend the poor and the fatherless. Do justice to the afflicted and needy. Deliver the poor and needy. Rid them out of the hand of the wicked. They know not, neither will they understand. They walk on in darkness. All the foundations of the earth are out of course. I have said, ye are gods, and all of you are children of the Most High. But ye shall die like men and fall like one of the princes. Arise, O God, judge the earth, for thou shalt inherit all nations. Amen. And may the Lord once again write his own blessing upon the reading of his precious and his infallible word. The hymn 625 ties in very well with our message for this morning. 625, what a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. 625, remain seated once again as we sing, please. Invite you to open your Bibles now in the book of 1 Kings and the chapter 18. The book of 1 Kings and the chapter 18, as we continue looking at the life of Elijah, we come this week to consider the friend for Elijah. The friend for Elijah. 1 Kings in the chapter 18, and we commence at the opening verse of the chapter. 1 Kings 18 and verse 1. Came to pass after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, Go and show thyself unto Ahab, and I will send rain upon the earth. And Elijah went to show himself unto Ahab, and there was a sore famine in Samaria. Ahab called Obadiah, which was the governor of his house. Now Obadiah feared the Lord greatly. For it was so when Jezebel cut off the prophets of the Lord, that Obadiah took 100 prophets and hid them by 50 in a cave and fed them with bread and water. And Ahab said unto Obadiah, Go into the land, unto all the fountains of water and unto all brooks. And peradventure we may find grass to save the horses and the mules alive, that we lose not all the beasts. So they divided the land between them to pass throughout it. And Ahab went one way by himself, and Obadiah went another way by himself. And as Obadiah was in the way, behold, Elijah met him, and he knew him, and fell on his face, and said, Art thou that, my lord Elijah? He answered him, I am. Go and tell thy lord, behold, Elijah is here. He said, What have I sinned, that thou wouldst deliver thy servant into the hand of Ahab to slay me? As the Lord thy God liveth, there is no nation or kingdom whither my lord hath not sent to seek thee. And when they said, He is not there, he took an oath of the kingdom and nation that they found thee not. And now thou sayest, Go and tell thy lord, behold, Elijah is here. It shall come to pass, as soon as I am gone from thee, that the Spirit of the Lord shall carry thee, whether I know not. And so when I come and tell Ahab, and he cannot find thee, he shall slay me. But I, thy servant, fear the Lord from my youth. Was it not told my lord what I did when Jezebel slew the prophets of the Lord? How I hid 100 men of the Lord's prophets by 50 in a cave, and fed them with bread and water. Now thou sayest, Go and tell thy lord, behold, Elijah is here, he shall slay me. Elijah said, As the Lord of hosts liveth, before whom I stand, I will surely show myself unto him today. So Obadiah went to meet Ahab and told him, and Ahab went to meet Elijah. Amen. And may God once again write his own blessing upon the reading of his precious word. The friend for Elijah. The friend for Elijah. Perhaps we'll stand once again just to give you another break from sitting just for a moment before we come to the preaching of the word. We're going to commit our time to the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we thank thee for thy word. O God, even as is open before us now, we pray that as we go through this passage together, as we look at the friend that thou didst give even to Elijah, Lord, that our hearts and our eyes will be fixed upon the friend that is there for us, the friend of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Lord, we pray that if there be one here that has never experienced the friendship that Christ gives, this will be the day, O God, when they come and they meet with thee. Empty us now of self and of sin. Fill us with thy Spirit. Touch our lips, O God. Touch every heart through the preaching of thy word. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. The time of hiding is now over. Over 3 years have passed since Elijah's ministry began. That sermon of judgment which he proclaimed before King Ahab, That message that came and that sermon that was preached to him that showed and highlighted to the children of Israel and to the king of Israel that no longer would dew nor rain be falling. That message, of course, had come true. There had been no rain, there had been no dew upon the land of Israel, and indeed Samaria as well, for all of that time. The landscape and the life in Israel has greatly changed. Everything that the people knew up until that time has ceased to exist. Indeed, as they went through, it tells us there in verse 2 that as Elijah went to show himself to Ahab, there is a sore famine in the land of Samaria. You imagine, as Elijah's making his way, all of the various fields, everything that was so common and known to the people, everything has changed. Over those last 3 years since Elijah had presented himself to Ahab, we know, of course, that he then went to the brook Cherith. And he went and he hid himself there. He was fed by the ravens. He drank of the water and they brought him that bread and flesh morning and evening. And then the Lord moved him on and brought him then to the widow of Zarephath, there in the land of Sidon. And at every point in Elijah's life, over those last number of years, every single point, he had been prepared by the Lord. And he had been corrected in his way and brought to that place for what was yet to come. You know, it's wonderful whenever you consider and you note even the obedience in Elijah to the Lord's every command. Wherever the Lord told him to go, he went. Whatever the Lord asked him to do, he did it. Whether it be go and stand before a king, whether it be go and hide at a brook, whether it be go into the enemy territory of Sidon, whatever the Lord said to him to do, he immediately did it. Now once again, as he's now told to come out of hiding and to present himself to Ahab, once again he is obedient. We never read of one complaint. We never read of one murmur. We never read of one questioning of the Lord or one disagreement. God's word in Elijah's life was final. It was his sole authority over him. Child of God, again I say it, that is how we are to live. In faith and obedience to the word of God. God's word is to be a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path. It is to show us where to go. It is to show us when to go. It is to show us how to go. And every single part of our lives, every direction that we must take, every path that must be walked, it must be in accordance with the will and indeed the word of God. Elijah is told to come out of hiding. He's told to reveal himself to Ahab, and as he goes in obedience to the Lord's command, the Lord gives to him a friend. Friends in life are very important. And even as we go through our childhood into your teenage years and into your adult years, friends are always something that is highlighted and looked for throughout life. And even as we seek friends in life, it is important that we always look to the scriptures for guidance as to who our friends should be. And certainly the scriptures do deal with this issue of friendship. It is mentioned and it is highlighted and is even through the lives of those that are recorded in scripture. There are guidelines, there are lessons to be learnt in relation to friendship. Indeed, friends are important, but having the right friends is vital. Young and old alike. Not just for going through school, not just for your time in university or college, but indeed throughout all of life, to have the right friends, those that are akin with you, is vital for your life. As we read these verses and as we've read them together in 1 Kings 18, there are certain lessons to be learned in relation to friendship, which are coming even to us through the experience of Elijah meeting with Obadiah. Three things I want to leave with you in relation to it this morning. I want you to see, firstly, the leading to the friend. The leading to the friend. The first, or the verse 1, it says, the word of the Lord It came to Elijah in the third year, saying, "Go, show thyself unto Ahab. I will send rain upon the earth." Then the end of verse 6, it tells us Ahab went one way by himself. Obadiah went another way by himself. And in the verse 7, it says, "As Obadiah was in the way, behold, Elijah met him." Here was Elijah called by the Lord to come out of hiding. And as he makes that journey from Zarephath, as he makes that journey towards where he knew Ahab to live, he meets with Obadiah. In the providence of God, their paths are brought together. We read that verse of how Ahab and Obadiah, they go one way and the other goes the other way. And the Lord has it, and the Lord's providence is in it, that Ahab is going in the opposite direction, and Obadiah is going straight towards Elijah. God's control over every aspect of it is powerfully infinite. And it ensures that these two men will come into contact one with the other. God's timing was perfect. His way was perfect. His leading was perfect. You know, there is a wonderful truth found in those words. Whenever we are following God's will for our lives, everything will fall into place. It always does. Whenever you're looking for the Lord's will and you're seeking to find, and there's all of these different things in your head and there's all of these different parts and you're wondering, how does this work out and how will this work out? Whenever you're following God's word, all of it's just going to fall into place. It always does. You know, sometimes young people struggle to find friends in school, university, the workplace. You go into that new setting and it's completely new, and you look around and you're saved. You're a Christian. Maybe it's a new workplace and you're starting out in that new job or whatever the case may be, or a new university and you're starting out in a course, and you immediately go in, you know, I'm a child of God and I want to find those that are like me. And you look around and everyone else, well, there's cursing, there's swearing, there's desires to go out at weekends, there's all of these different things. And you're looking around going, wondering to yourself, where is that one that I'm going to be akin with? How will I ever find a friend that is going to be good for me? How am I ever going to find one who has the same Christian beliefs or values as myself? You know, in Elijah's day, there wasn't much choice, shall we say. Elijah was coming towards Ahab, and as far as he could see and as far as his understanding was, everyone was following Ahab and worshipping Baal. And yet here was Elijah. God said to him, "Go to Ahab and speak to him once again." And it's only then that Obadiah came. When did Obadiah come? Whenever Elijah was obeying the Lord's command. Where did Elijah meet Obadiah? Whenever he was walking the path that God had directed for him. You see, that's the reality. Whenever we're following the Lord's command, whenever we're in the center of His will, He meets our every need. You know, I can testify that in my own life. Both before I get married and after I've got married, I've had friends. But the best friends that the Lord has ever given to me are those that I met whenever I was obeying His command. The closest friends I have, those that are akin to me, those that I can turn to in any time of need, every single one of them, couples, families, every one of them was met after I obeyed the Lord's command. You see, whenever we first seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness, whenever we prioritize God and His word and His will above all else, then all of these things shall be added unto us. You know, sometimes in life we think to ourselves and we have our priorities all round the wrong way. And we immediately go in and we say, the most important thing for me right now is to have a friend or to have a girlfriend, to have a boyfriend, to get married or have all of these things. And we prioritize them and we have them in the wrong order. And we say to ourselves, the most important thing is working it out for us. No, the most important thing in your life is seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And then the Lord has promised, all of these things shall be added unto you. The Lord then works out everything else when we put God first. Now, if you consider the greatest example of friendship in the scriptures between two individuals, I believe you'd have to speak of David and Jonathan. Those two men, it tells us in 1 Samuel 18. In verse 1, it tells us that the soul of Jonathan was knit unto the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. In verse 3 of 1 Samuel 18, it says, then Jonathan and David made a covenant because he loved him as his own soul. I've yet to find a stronger friendship between two individuals in the scriptures apart from David and Jonathan. They became inseparable. Their strength, that unity, that bond, that love between them was so strong. But when did it come? After David had obeyed the word of God and the will of God for his life. When did they become friends? After David had fought with Goliath. After he had put God above all, because remember, whenever David came into the camp of the Israelites and Goliath came and stood against him and defied the living God, and David's righteous anger burned within him and his indignation against this man that blasphemed against God, and he took his stand and he obeyed, he put God first. He says, you'll not talk about God like that. Who are you to defy God? And he went and he fought him. He defeated him. Then he met Jonathan. Let me encourage each one this morning, always prioritize the Lord's will and leading in your life. And always ensure that you're in the center of God's will. And the Lord will work out every other circumstance. That applies also in the gospel. We think of the Lord Jesus Christ, who's described in Proverbs 18 and verse 24 as a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. But how is it that Christ becomes our friend? How is it today that there are those that are saved that can say the Lord Jesus Christ is my friend? Well, first of all, we have to obey the voice of God. We have to obey the will of the Lord. And the will and desire of the Lord is that every single sinner repents of their sins. It tells us he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The Lord's command, the Lord's word to every single sinner is to repent of sin and to believe on him. The very first message Christ ever preached in his earthly ministry was one of repentance. He gave them the path. He gave them the way. This is how you come to know God. This is how you come to have fellowship with God. This is how you come to have friendship with God. Number one, you have to obey his word. You have to obey his will. You have to repent. Unsaved here today, the Lord's will for your life is, first of all, you come to the foot of the cross. You come and you cast off your sins. You lay your sins upon Jesus. You come to the foot of the cross and you repent of your sins and you believe in that finished work of Christ. You believe on his death. You believe on his resurrection as the only way to have your sins dealt with, as the only way to have peace with God, as the only way to have that friendship and that fellowship with your Creator. Obadiah met with Elijah. But thank God there is a friend that's greater even than Elijah. He desires to meet with you. I wonder today, unsaved, will you heed his voice? Will you obey his will? Will you walk in the way of God? Will you come via the cross of Jesus Christ? The leading to the friend. Then secondly, I want you to see also the likeness to the friend. The verse 3, it tells us at the end of it, now Obadiah feared the Lord greatly. And in the verse 4, it tells us of how he hid 100 prophets. Verse 12, again, it tells us, those two verses, it shows us even what Elijah is like whenever he is finding Obadiah as a friend. Obadiah, over the years, as a person, has divided a lot of opinions, both with Bible commentators and indeed with preachers and those, indeed, even in the church pew. There are certain negatives to the character of Obadiah. And certainly his words that are found in verse 12 do not display Obadiah in a very good light. It shows doubt. It shows fear. Whenever he says those words, "As soon as I am gone from thee, the Spirit of the Lord shall carry thee whither I know not," there is no confidence in the Lord at that time. But like Elijah, like all of us, Obadiah is not perfect. But when you look at both Elijah and Obadiah, when you compare these two men together, yes, it's important to highlight they're not clones. But there are many similarities. If you look at the verse 3 and the verse 12, the end of it, both of them have a fear of God. So verse 3, it says, "Now Obadiah feared the Lord greatly." The end of the verse 12, he says, "I, thy servant, fear the Lord from my youth." Both of these men, in that day and generation, with all of the darkness and all of the Baal worship and idol worship and all of the rejection of God, both of these men stand together, united in this principle and in this truth. We fear God, not man. We fear God above all other, even though it's an unpopular view, even though that separates us and that makes us to stand away from the camp, even though that separates us from the king, from the government, from all of the teaching, from all of the public opinion. Both men fear God. And in verse 4, both of them have a faith in God. As it tells us in verse 4, when Jezebel cut off the prophets of the Lord, that Obadiah took 100 prophets, hid them by 50 in a cave, fed them with bread and water. Obadiah trusted the Lord for every part of his life. Even though the king for whom he was working was involved along with his wife in a manhunt for Elijah. Even though as that rain stopped falling, as that dew stopped rising in the morning time, Jezebel's anger was increased and increased to the point where she was rounding up every prophet and she was killing him. And yet Elijah was trusting the Lord and hiding. Obadiah was trusting the Lord and taking 100 prophets and was taking them to caves. And remember, Obadiah worked in the palace. Now, I don't know where Obadiah got enough bread and water every single day to take to these 100 men. But every single day, it tells us in that verse that he fed them bread and water. He left the palace every single day, whether it be in the morning or whether it be at nighttime, whatever the case was, Obadiah went away from the palace with enough bread and water for 100 prophets. I don't know, was it carried in a sack and a big bucket of water, but he's going to stand out. Because remember, Obadiah and Ahab, what are they both doing whenever Elijah meets them? They're both looking for water for horses. And in the scarcity of water, there's Obadiah leaving the palace, whether he's got a sack over his arm with 100 bits of bread in it and a big bucket of water, whatever the case was. And he's walking down that road and he's going to wherever those caves were. And he's trusting the Lord every single day to keep him as he goes and to keep him as he's coming back. He's trusting the Lord that is over all things. Even though the government is out, they're rounding up all of the prophets, they're killing them. Even though Ahab's sending dignitaries to other countries and making them take oaths that none of them are hiding Elijah. Yet Obadiah, in the midst of all of that darkness and anger and wickedness, there's him still trusting the Lord, carrying the loaves and carrying the bucket of water. There was fear of God. There was faith in God. That verse 4 also highlights there's a fearlessness of man. Because there, in the midst of everything, Obadiah over those 3 years never stopped helping those 100 men. Never stopped. You know, it must have been a blessing for Elijah to meet Obadiah. It must have been a blessing to hear those convictions. As there was Elijah, he came out of that hiding in obedience to the Lord, and he's going, and I'm sure like the first time he preached before Ahab, he believed he would be going in alone. One man against them all. And yet here's the Lord giving to him a friend. In the midst of all of that anger, in the midst of all of the darkness, yet here was one that's standing and saying to Elijah, "Elijah, I fear the Lord. I feared him from my youth. And I trust him. I don't fear men, Elijah. I've been feeding 100 men for all of this time." You know, it's a blessing, child of God, whenever we have friends who bear the marks of a Christian. We ought to have those common bonds with our friends and those characteristics. We both fear God. That our friends and ourselves, we both believe in him alone. We both have that spiritual boldness and that fear of God only and not of man. That our friends are those who love the Lord Jesus Christ even if no one else does. They love his word. You know, there is a great blessing whenever you and your friends are united in Christ. Psalm 133, the verse 1, it says, "Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity." Proverbs 27, the verse 9, it says, "Ointment and perfume rejoice the heart, but so doth the sweetness of a man's friend by hearty counsel." Let me encourage each one this morning, choose your friends wisely. Seek to be led of the Lord, young and old alike, to those with whom there is a likeness. Leading to the friend, the likeness to the friend. One final thing I want to direct your attention to is the love for the friend. The love for the friend. It tells us in verse 7 that whenever Obadiah is in the way, Elijah met him and he knew him, he fell on his face. He said, "Art thou that, my Lord Elijah?" You know, as we've said, these two have only met. As far as Scripture reveals to us, there's never been an interaction between the two before. And yet, immediately you can see there is a love toward one another. In verse 7, there is honor given. Because he falls on his face before him. He says, "Art thou my Lord Elijah?" He respects him. He honors him. There's also a confiding one in another. Because of verse 12, in that time of doubt, in that time of apprehension, in Obadiah's heart, he pours out his concern to Elijah. He doesn't just leave him and then grumble and moan and complain behind as he's walking back thinking, "Elijah's going to disappear and I'm going to get killed." No, he pours it all out. He confides in Elijah. You could say that he casts his care upon Elijah. And in turn then that leads into verse 15 to encouraging one another. So if you read the words of the verse 15, Elijah says, "As the Lord of hosts liveth, before whom I stand, I will surely show myself unto him today." Obadiah's poured out that concern. He's poured out that worry. He's confided in Elijah. He said, "Elijah, I believe I'm going to go and tell Ahab, and when I come back, you're going to be gone. So I'm going to be killed." Elijah, in his actions and his words, he just takes that concern, he takes that worry, and he just gives those words of reassurance. He says, "As the Lord liveth." I'm going to meet him today. You know, in Elijah's actions and words, you have a wonderful picture of Christ. Because there's Elijah, he receives Obadiah's concerns. They're cast on him. And he doesn't rebuke him. He doesn't grow angry with him. What he does is he calms the fears. What he does is he calms the heart. And as then Obadiah makes his journey, in the verse 16 it says, so Obadiah went to meet Ahab. Obadiah's leaving the presence of Elijah, having confided in him, having cast all that care upon him, and he's leaving with that assurance. Elijah's promised he's going to meet him. I've nothing to fear. No, isn't that the reality with Christ? We cast our cares upon him. Why? Knowing that he cares for us. We pour all of our concern. We come in before him into that throne of grace, seeking to obtain grace and mercy in that time of need. And when we cast all of our care upon the Lord, we leave his presence refreshed, renewed, confident that the Lord's in control and the Lord will undertake. You know, the word friend in itself, in English, it's just friend. But in some other languages, it's more interesting. French, it's just mon ami. Spanish, it's just mi amigo. Doesn't really mean anything. But do you know in Native American Indian, their literal translation of the word friend is translated, one who carries my sorrows upon their back. Now, I think that gives a wonderful picture of Christ. I think that shows those words that the Native American has for a friend. One who carries my sorrows upon his back. That gets us really to the crux of what a true friend is. That gets us really to the crux of what the Lord Jesus Christ is our friend. He is our burden bearer. He is the one who has encouraged us to cast all of our care upon him, to come and to lay our sins upon him. For the Lord Jesus Christ is our Savior. He took and carried our sins upon his own body, and he carried them to the cross. We never carry them again. 1 Peter 2 and 24, it highlights to us, it means that there to us the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. He took our own sins in his body. He bore that suffering, he bore that sorrow, he bore that anguish all in himself. Why? For us. Why? Because he loves us. My, what a love our Savior has for us. What a best friend we have in Jesus Christ. You know, child of God, today we have the greatest friend of all. Yes, as I've highlighted, it's good, it's important to have good, godly Christian friends, those that can encourage us, those that are there for us in our times of need, that we can confide one another in, that we can support one another. But my, what a blessing it is as a child of God to have the greatest friend of all, to have Christ. And sinner, today, why... Let me ask this question very simply. You're here and you're unsaved, or maybe even listening in unsaved. Why do you continue to carry your own sins and your sorrows? Why do you continue to hold them all within yourself and to have that great burden upon your own back? Never the grace of God's being offered to you. Lord Jesus Christ says, come unto me, all ye that are weary and heavy laden. And I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, for my yoke is burden is light. Christ is standing with that invitation. I'll take all of your struggle. I'll take all of your sorrow. I'll take all of the guilt of your sin. I'll take it all. I'll remove it all. But all you have to do is simply come and take it, or come and give it to me. Oh yes, friends are important. But there's no one more important than the friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Jesus Christ. I wonder today as we leave, is he your friend? I wonder today as we leave, is he your burden bearer? Is he the one that carries your sorrows upon his back? If he's not, why not come to him this morning? Come and give him everything. And thank God he'll take everything. And he'll be that friend to you that'll never leave. And that'll never forsake you. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank thee this morning for the friend that we have in Jesus Christ. We can truly say with the hymn that we sang earlier, what a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. No, Father, we can rejoice in our hearts, each one that is saved, that we know the Lord Jesus and he is our friend. But, oh Father, we do pray this day for each one that is still outside of Christ, that has never tasted and seen that the Lord is good. Oh Father, we pray that this day will be the day when they come to the foot of the cross. They lay their sins upon Jesus. They follow his leading. They follow his will even to repent of their sins and to put their faith and trust in Christ. Oh Father, speak on now as the voice of man grows silent. Watch over us throughout this afternoon and bring us once again in safety to the house of the Lord tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.